Good evening. Good to see someone. Good to see everyone out tonight. This morning we talked about prayer, and for those that asked about it, I wanted to let you know it's on the website. Some of you asked me this morning if I could get it on the website today. It's on there this afternoon, the whole thing. So the YouTube, the audio, the video, however you want to read it or watch it, it's on there. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a title and lesson, What Can I Offer God? Looking at 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5, and verses 9 to 10. Sometimes I tell you the text, and then I tell you we're going to get to that eventually or in a little bit. We're going to start with that. So I want to invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in just a few seconds from verses 4 through 5, and we're going to jump ahead in verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4. It says, "And coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And if you go down to verse 9, they're talking about Jesus is the choice cornerstone. He is the one that is a rock of offense and stumbling to some that are unwilling to accept him. He says in verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We talked in our adult Bible class this morning about how the church is made up of priests. We were talking about descriptions of the church and how the church is made up of priests. If you look in Revelation 1:5, it says that through Jesus, he made us a kingdom of priests. He made us a kingdom of priests. Here, Peter is telling us we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation of people for God's own possession, that we were not a people, and now that we are a people, because we have received mercy. One of the many descriptions of saints is a priest. And Peter tells us we're from this royal priesthood. We're told in other places, I have there in parentheses, Hebrews 6, 19 to 20, and Hebrews 7, 23 through 27. Jesus is our high priest, and we're told he's of the order of Melchizedek. In fact, it says he's our high priest of the order of Melchizedek forever. And so the Hebrew writer makes it plain and clear that Jesus fulfills Old Testament prophecy being king and priest. Not according to the Levitical way of doing things, but according to the order of Melchizedek. As priests, what did a physical priest do? We understand what a priest did. They served God. They offered up sacrifices. As priests, we're told to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Just as the former priests, if you go and look in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23, the Levitical priests are referred to there as former priests. Just as those former priests offered up sacrifices in a physical sense, so the priests under that better covenant, according to Hebrews 7:22, are told to offer up spiritual sacrifices. So knowing what the priests under the old law, they offered up sacrifices, we can understand that. And then we're told in a spiritual sense, we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. We might come to this question, what can I offer to God? What can I give to God? One of the things that we are told we are to give to God is our worship. We're to give our worship to God. We talked this morning how we are to love him with all that we are, with our whole heart, with our mind, our soul, and all our strength. Worship comes from two Greek words, latria or latria and latriuo. And both of those mean to divine service to God. It means a minister to God, religious homage, that is honor, and to serve God. Webster's defines it a couple different ways. Webster says of worship, when in the aspect of to God, to adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration, to perform acts of adoration, to perform religious service. All right, so now we know what that means, but what does that entail? How do our lives demonstrate worship? One of the many ways that we can offer worship to God is through a heart filled with thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude. In Colossians 3:17, if we're to look at there, it tells us that we're to give thanks to God through Jesus Christ. We're to, whatever we do in word or deed, We're to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to the Father. So everything that we do, we're to do so in a heart of thanksgiving. That is gratitude. So what are you grateful for? Think about that. What are you grateful for? When life is going good, it's easy to take for granted all our blessings. Having enough food, a safe place to sleep, good health, people who love us, who want to see our good, who want to love us and take care of us, make sure that we are taken care of, etc. It's so easy to take these things for granted. Recently, Becky and I ran into a person that found us on the street just randomly. And as she was telling us her story, she said she was homeless. She was sharing with us that she sleeps under a stage in a park over there by Maymont. And she walks a great distance every morning to find a place that allows her to go and use the restroom and take care of herself and kind of bathe a little bit. And it's so easy to take those things for granted. She told us how it's hard to sleep because at 5 a.m. there's a workout crew that comes out and just pounds on that stage while she's sleeping underneath it. And the park people allow her to sleep there. And after talking with someone like that and kind of really hearing their side of things, it really makes taking life for granted really easy to do. We take for granted having food, having a place to sleep and call our own, people that love and care for us enough to check on us when they get worried. You know, there's a study. It was called Counting Blessings Versus Burdens, an experimental investigation on gratitude and subjective well-being in daily life. I wish they would have just kind of shortened that to an acronym. But this, according to this study, it says intentionally counting one's blessings makes one's life better. Instead of sitting there counting the negative, because that's easy to do. That's easy to count all the things that we think is wrong, all the things that we don't have. But this study shows when we intentionally count our blessings, the things that we do have, it makes our lives better. I don't know if that's a definitive study, but it was an interesting study nonetheless to read about from a secular standpoint, that if we focus on the positive, and for Christians, we ought to be focusing on the positive, we ought to be thinking of what God has done for us and have this heart of gratitude. And as you show gratitude for your blessings, remember from where all those good things come from. God. In fact, 1 Timothy 6:17 and James 1:17 tells us, combining these two passages tells us, God gives all good things for us to enjoy. God gives all the good things that we have, and they're there for us to enjoy. So how do we respond to such an all-powerful and generous God? One, as we talked about this morning, who knows our needs before we ask them, and one that provides those blessings, all good things to be enjoyed. Psalm 29:2 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. We just sang a hymn, singing glory to the Lord's name. One of the ways that we respond to that all-powerful and generous God is with worship, with hearts full of gratitude, recognizing that he is majesty, recognizing that all glory and honor is due him. Despite the failings of his creation, God provided a means for mankind to come to God. He reconciled us in his blood, Ephesians chapter 2, to enter into his family, Romans 8, 14 to 17, that as adopted as sons, we can cry out to him, Abba, Father, and enjoy the blessings of all good things to be enjoyed. I want to read from Psalm 8, verse 1, then we're going to read the rest of it from verses 3 through 9. It says, for the choir director on the Gittith, it's a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you've made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands, and you put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord,